This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live as we are monitoring all the action in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. 5:22 to go in the first half. The Thunder with a 37-36 lead over the Pacers. Your live number is Thunder -7.5. The Thunder did close at -6.5. Your live total, though, trending towards and under, a significant under. My goodness. Total now is at 206.5, and this total was pushed down significantly. It did go back up prior to tip-off, but still closed at 215.5, which is by far the lowest total we've had here in this NBA Finals. If you're just tuning in, the big story of the night is Tyrese Haliburton suffering an apparent Achilles injury 7 minutes into the game, as Haliburton went down to the ground, no contact. The replay clearly showed what we have seen countless times, unfortunately, here in the NBA season and in these playoffs. And so, again, not speculating, but I think it's safe to say that we all agree that this is an Achilles tear. The NBA community reaching out, obviously, in full support of Tyrese Haliburton. And now the market adjusted. As soon as the injury happened, we saw the Thunder go to -9.5. And the total did tick down. And then also we saw TJ McConnell's numbers go up, which I do expect TJ McConnell to continue to be the beneficiary of playing more minutes. And I recommended, once the injury occurred at the end of the first quarter, to play all of TJ McConnell's numbers to go over. Well, right now, TJ McConnell here with 4:30, about 4.5 minutes to go in this second half or second quarter, first half. TJ McConnell right now has, let's see, 2 points on 1 of 4 shooting. He does have 4 assists, though, and 1 rebound. He also has a steal and 2 turnovers. So 1 more assist from TJ McConnell, and he'll go over his number of 4.5. So something that we did recommend playing, as we expect TJ McConnell to be the beneficiary of all of these minutes without Tyrese Haliburton. Your leading scorer right now, as we are counting, or we are close to the end of the first half. We'll update all of these numbers as we get to the end of the first half, as well as take a look at the live numbers for the second half and for the total when it comes to both of these teams. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is your leading scorer of the game right now with 12 points. And taking a look at the live MVP market, Shai is now -350. Favorite to be the MVP. And that's kind of coinciding with where the Thunder are to win this game. Thunder are actually -315 now to win the game. So Shai is -300 to be the MVP. It's going to fluctuate back and forth with the money line. It is an exact correlated bet. And I recommended this prior to this game beginning, because you could have gotten Shai at -210 to be the MVP, as opposed to -270 on the Thunder to win this game. So it was a much better bet to bet on Shai to be the MVP than Thunder on the money line, because if the Thunder win this game tonight, Shai will be your most valuable player. Also recommended that for Pascal Siakam. If you believed that the Pacers were going to win this game, you could have gotten a significantly higher plus money price on Pascal Siakam to be the MVP, as opposed to the money line on the Pacers to win this game. You got north of +350 or so on on Siakam to be the MVP, as opposed to the +205 on the Pacers money line to win this game. Now, obviously, these were bets that were, even with Tyrese Haliburton healthy, and Haliburton was 11-1 to win the MVP prior to the game. Haliburton goes 3 of 4 from three-point range to start the game. He then shortens up to a +650 favorite to a +650, not favorite, but a bet to be the MVP, the third favorite behind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Pascal Siakam. And unfortunately, with the injury, it wipes him from the conversation. So now that Haliburton's out of the conversation, it is a two-man race. So look accordingly on your sports books to see what the money line different price is, or what the price variance is between the money lines and between the player to win the MVP. Because it's going to be SGA as the finals MVP if the Thunder win tonight. It's going to be Siakam as the finals MVP if the Pacers win tonight. I do not think any other player is in play. Some people might think Jalen Williams, if he has a big performance based off the 40-point performance that he had in game number 5, I disagree. I don't think it's even close. His -40 on his plus minus in game number six. Certainly going to take him out of the equation for me. But TJ McConnell could actually play himself into the conversation. He's at 50-1 right now. Could McConnell be a dark horse MVP candidate if he has a monster game tonight in the absence of Tyrese Halliburton and leads the Pacers to the victory here in game number seven? I talked about the player impact numbers earlier when I recommended these bets. Now, NBA.com does their advanced analytic stats, and one of their stats is PIE, P-I-E. It's a player impact estimate. And what this does is it replaced the ESPN and John Hollinger player efficiency rating stat that we always talked about, that PER, when it comes to the MVP voting, just for the league MVP. Not talking about for a series MVP, but for a league MVP, it happens all the time. It's like the PER leader is the MVP. And so what PIE does, player impact estimate, is it replaced the player efficiency ratings. And if you look at the first six games of these NBA Finals, Pascal Siakam was at a score of 16.2, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 15.9. Then you have a drop-off to Tyrese Halliburton, 12.9, and Jalen Williams, 12.2. So it's obvious that Siakam and SGA were head and shoulders more impactful in these six games than Halliburton and Jalen Williams. But what's very interesting, as I talk about TJ McConnell playing himself possibly into this thing, McConnell, despite only playing in 19 minutes per game, despite playing half of the possessions than the starters in Siakam and SGA, his impact when he's come into the games has been more impactful. A score of 18.5. He's actually had the highest player impact estimate of this NBA Finals. It's crazy. Because the guy comes in, he gives you a burst off the bench, and I don't think anybody up until tonight would vote for McConnell to be the MVP over Siakam, who's been consistent in double the playing time than TJ McConnell. But I think the circumstances of tonight with Halliburton getting hurt makes things rather interesting. I don't know. Could we see? Now, it has to play out that way, though. It would have to be McConnell having a monster performance, like triple-double performance tonight. It leading the Pacers to a victory. He would have to be the reason in order to sway the voters' opinions. But right now, Siakam is the guy for the Indiana Pacers. We got about a minute 30 to go in the first half. Pacers have a 44-42 lead over the Thunder. Your live line is Thunder minus 4.5, live total down to 203.5. So the Pacers with now a 45-42 lead over the Thunder with a minute 30 to go here in the first half. So what a second quarter, what a response this has been from the Indiana Pacers after losing Tyrese Halliburton. And is it so much like, is it the Pacers just responding and playing well, or has it been really a lack of shooting? And we talked about this earlier in the program, and our guest from CBS Sports, Brad Botkin, brought this up. The Oklahoma City Thunder have the tendency to go very cold. They are not a good shooting team. And if it's not SGA driving the lane and getting to the free throw line, and then, you know, if they have to rely on a lot of these shooters, they don't have them. And they can go scoreless for long periods of time. And that's why we've seen they've only scored 17 points here in the second quarter. And if we look at their shooting, they are 16 of 40 from the field. 4 of 17 from three-point range. Now, the Pacers, they are in this game because of their three-point shooting. The Pacers are 7 of 15 from three-point range. 46.7% from three-point range for the Pacers, as opposed to the 23% for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Pacers' three-point shooting is keeping them in this game right now. Rebounds, pretty even, 22 to 20. Turnovers, Pacers have turned the ball over 8 times, the Thunder just 5 times. Points in the paint, dominated by the Thunder, but that's what you would expect. They are a team that scores the majority of their points in the paint because they're not great shooters, as we talked about earlier. And fast break points, neither team is getting out in transition. Just 5 fast break points for the Thunder, 3 for the Indiana Pacers. So because we aren't seeing these teams get out in transition and seeing a ton of fast break points, that's lending itself towards a massive under here in this game, as we got about 37 seconds left to go here in this first half. Once we get to the half, we will update you on all of the stats Read the entire box score, the team stats, the player stats. Take a look at the live lines for the second half, lines and totals, as well as the live updated player props here for Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I want to remind you guys, you can start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee is gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can simply get it on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day is the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We will sweat out the remainder of the final 24 seconds of this first half and get you your live betting opportunities here for the second half. Plus, coming up, joining us will be Josh Eberle from Hoop Mag NBA Canada. We'll get his thoughts on the first half and what he thinks is going to play out here in the second half between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. Real quick, want to tell you guys about what's going on Sunday Night Baseball. Phillies holding on to a 5-0 lead over the Mets in the seventh inning right now at Citizens Bank Park. So Jordan Romano, the closer for the Phillies, or one of the former closer, actually in the game. So we are hoping that this stays low scoring, stay under. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are at the half in OKC where the Pacers lead the Thunder 48-47. And the big story, of course, the loss of Tyrese Haliburton. It is confirmed an Achilles tear for Haliburton in that first quarter. Something that you just hate to see start out this Game 7 of the NBA Finals. But the Pacers playing with heart. The Pacers playing with toughness. And right now have a one-point lead over the Thunder going into the locker room. Live line right now is Thunder -5.5. Your live total, 202.5. That is down from the 215.5 that we had to start this game. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line for Hoop Mag and NBA Canada, he is Josh Eberle, joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on VSiN as we react to what we saw here in the first half and take a look at some second half angles. Josh, thanks so much for joining us here. Well, Haliburton goes down, but how do you think the Pacers have responded? What's impressed you the most about their performance here in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely feel like a little bit stunned watching that to start this game 7 minutes in, but the Pacers DNA has been their DNA. Like I do think, from a sort of a narrative DNA standpoint here, you expect sort of nothing less from this team. Like they have been competitive without him. They have been the greatest comeback team maybe ever in a playoff run. I'm not surprised to see them rally. Benedict Mathurin is a really good offensive player, and he's going to get some more run here, get some more opportunities to do things. Really appreciate how hard this team is fighting, but man, I'd be lying if I didn't say there's just a bad taste in your mouth watching something like that happen at the absolute pinnacle of the sport.
Yeah, for sure. And I tweeted out something earlier that unfortunately, like the Achilles injury was on everybody's minds when Haliburton suffered the calf injury, because we've seen that so many other times with other players. Kevin Durant most famously comes to mind, but you see the calf injury then leads to the Achilles injury, and unfortunately it happened again here with Haliburton, and you just hate to see it right at the start of this game number 7. But from a Pacers perspective now, as they adjust to the rest of this game without Tyrese Haliburton, you mentioned Benedict Mathurin could step up offensively. Who else do we expect to step up from an offensive standpoint here from the Pacers? And maybe it's just not scoring, but facilitating the offense as well.
I think you look at TJ McConnell, obviously, is going to have to play a big minutes load in the second half. They're going to have to, look to him to create for them. Andrew Nembhard's a good player. He's been a pretty good shooter from the majority of the playoffs, but he's not as great off the dribble. I think T.J. McConnell's a little bit more creative when he has the ball in his hands. McConnell's going to get some chances. I think Pascal Siakam, you know, being sort of one of the leaders of this team, a guy who's won before, he's going to get his opportunities in Mathurin. I would say those three probably shoulder the load here.
What do the Thunder have to do to move this game forward? You know, it looked like for a time at the end of the first quarter, and then with Halliburton out, they were going to stretch this lead, and it could have been one of those games, but they have not shot the ball well. How do they change things here in the second half?
Yeah, I think not take possessions for granted. I mean, it's a mental thing. You see, you know, the opposing team's star go down like that. You're at home with this incredible crowd. You've been the best team all year. I think it's really easy to have some mental lapses and start to celebrate prematurely. I think we've seen that from the Thunder a few times here in the playoffs, where they just lull themselves to sleep a little bit. The effort isn't the same. If they aren't going to, you know, take care of these possessions, Indiana's been a team all year that can bite anybody. So I think if you're OKC, you take care of things. You keep pushing SGA. You keep driving. You keep running the pick and roll like you've been running it. You're looking for the open shooters. You're trusting Caruso. You're trusting Kayson Wallace to make those shots. You know, they each were making seven in the first half. But, yeah, like to your point, I would not feel very good at all as Oklahoma City if this is a single-digit lead at any point in the fourth quarter.
Josh Eberle from Hoop Mag NBA Canada joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jalen Williams, Josh, only 5 points in that first half, 2 of 7 shooting, 0 of 2 from three-point range. Do we expect a better effort from Jalen Williams in the second half?
Better, yeah. Significantly better, no. He seems to be one of those players who he gets in the hot cold spots. And it's sort of crazy coming off that 40-point game how he's played since. But he's not a guy, you know, traditionally who has huge second halves if he has a bad first half. So I would not think that he's going to come out and have 15, 20 and look like a completely different player. I think it'll be hard to play worse than he played in the first half, but I wouldn't look for a huge turnaround either. I think this is going to be very heavy on SGA's shoulders the rest of the way.
Is there any props from a Thunder perspective that you would look to attack, maybe overs or unders, maybe three-pointers made or anything like that?
I'd have to look right now for a specific number, but I would say SGA. What's SGA's free throw line right now?
Oh, it's free throws. Oh, that's a niche market here. Not a lot of books are going to offer live market on that, getting to the free throw line.
I want to say before the game was 8.5, and I would have taken the under. But, you know, we'll see as this goes on.
Yeah, 6 of 6 from the free throw line right now for Shea here. 0 of 3 from three-point range. Actually, the only player to make a three-pointer for the Thunder here. Lou Dort, 1 of 4. Caruso, 2 of 5. Kayson Wallace, 1 of 2. Do we expect what about Lou Dort? Can we see Lou Dort maybe shoot more threes in the second half?
I would like to see so much less of Lou Dort. If I see another one of those flop calls, I'm gonna lose my mind if I see another flop called like that in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I think Caruso is going to keep shooting. Caruso has been incredible this whole run. And, we're 10 minutes into the segment. We haven't talked about Chet. I don't know if it's going to happen, but, man, if there was a game that Chet was going to show you some of those things offensively where he was getting compared to Kevin Durant earlier this year, this would be a great time for Chet to maybe be a little bit more involved and show you something.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Only 2 of 4 from the field. Like, he's not that active in this offense. And, yeah, I know possessions are limited, and this has been an extremely low-scoring first half, but seeing that stat line really shocked me. He's not shooting the ball at all. I would expect them to get the ball in his hands more often here in the second half and maybe look at a live point total for Chet.
Yeah, he's an incredibly diverse player, and obviously they've been successful, so they haven't altered things, but it has been odd how uninvolved he's been offensively a lot of the playoffs.
He has 5 points right now. His live point total is 10.5, the over juiced at -130.
Yeah, I would take the over there. Yeah. I think maybe this is a game where they got to go to him.
Yeah, Josh, appreciate the time on quick notice here at the half, getting us some quick thoughts here on what we can expect. Do we think it is a higher scoring second half, or does this stay at this slow pace?
I think it's a higher scoring second half. I think they're going to get jittery. Both teams are going to get jittery with it all on the line, and I could see some lapses.
All right. We'll see if it plays out that way. I tend to agree with you there. Josh, thank you so much. Enjoy the second half. Good luck with your bets.
Appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thanks. Josh Eberle there, Hoop Mag and NBA Canada, joining me to get his thoughts here on the second half. And I do agree. I think it does tend to be a higher scoring second half. Taking a look at your halftime lines right now. And again, live total is at 202.5. We have had a very low scoring first half. Live total for the second half is at 107.5. The Thunder -6.5 here for the second half. Let's see if that's the best lines that we have here in the market. 107.5 is the best total. I've actually seen a book at 108, 109. There's a 110.5. My goodness. But your best number, if you want an over in the second half, is at 107.5. And your best number on the Oklahoma City Thunder would be the -6.5. And that makes sense. Plays itself out to equal the live game lines that we're talking about here. The Thunder are down one. And on the live line right now, the Thunder are -5.5 for the game. So that math equals out. And your live total is at 202.5. I do think we're going to have a much higher scoring second half. And so, where do those points come from? Well, if I want to look at some live player points to go over, let's look no further than the Chet Holmgren. We just talked about that with Josh. I do think Chet Holmgren does go over his player points. Let's take a look at all of these players, actually, to see what they've had right now and where they are on the live player points numbers, because I kind of want to play a bunch of these guys to go over. I think it's going to be a higher scoring second half. I think the pace picks up here in the second half. So Chet Holmgren, let's start with him. Chet has right now just 5 points. His live total is 10.5 -130 to the over. I would play that. Jalen Williams, a guy who has been terrible here in this first half. 5 points so far. His live total is at 15.5, which is actually not far off from where he was for the full game number. It was about, you know, about like 19.5 range. Could we see a couple of three-pointers going from Jalen Williams and him, you know, have a big-time scoring second half? Possibly. The only way I can play, I don't like any of these unders. I'll say that right away, just because I do think it is a higher scoring second half. I'm just looking at which players I like more on the overs. The first one would be that Chet Holmgren to go over. TJ McConnell, as I mentioned, he is at 9.5 on his live point total. I would go over. It's -125. He's got 4 points already. I can see him getting some points, especially from the free throw line as well. And looking at your live three-pointer line here, as we have Lu Dort has already made 1 3, -212 to go over 1.5. Elsewhere, SGA has not made a three yet. His over a half a three, -154. Jalen Williams over half, -142. I would kind of sprinkle on some of those or put them in, you know, your adjusted little same game parlays, because I do think we're going to get a much, much higher scoring second half. We are moments away from the start of the second half, where the Pacers have a 48-47 lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we are underway here, second half in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Pacers. And we do have an update, as expected, on from DraftKings Sportsbook. As, again, expected. I knew this was going to happen. But DraftKings Sportsbook tweeting out a little while ago, we will be refunding all losing bets that included Tyrese Haliburton on markets that were undetermined before he left the game. This includes single and parlay wagers where he was the only losing selection credited inside 48 hours. Digital bets only, refunded in DK dollars. So there's your statement from DraftKings. I would assume that other sportsbooks, well, not all sportsbooks, but like the, you know, the DraftKings, FanDuels of the world would follow suit accordingly. I get it from a, you know, a player-friendly standpoint and from a marketing standpoint, sure. But, like, I always hate this. It's like a player gets injured and all of a sudden everybody's first reaction is to, like, refund your bets. Like, you're allowed to bet unders. You know, okay, like, you bet Tyrese Haliburton over and, like, he didn't hit because he got hurt. Like, that happens. You're allowed to bet his unders. So, like, if I lose my same game parlay by one leg, but my one leg was, you know, Jalen Williams to go over his points, do I get my money back now? No. Like, why? I mean, you know, I had Tyrese Haliburton under, so that was a leg that hit for me. You know, it's like everyone just wants a refund on all these bets. Crazy. But hey, good for DraftKings, good from a marketing standpoint. Again, if you're just tuning in, Tyrese Haliburton confirmed it is an Achilles injury. We've now had three major Achilles injuries here in these NBA playoffs. Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Tyrese Haliburton. Kind of ironic that all three players wear number zero. Anyway, that's besides the point. But this is something that was feared once we had the a calf injury that occurred with Tyrese Haliburton. It's something that we've seen. You know, we saw it with Lillard. We saw it with Kevin Durant a couple of years ago as well. It's like when these players have the calf injury, the Achilles injury unfortunately follows. There was a lineup change to begin the third quarter. Alex Caruso was in the lineup here to start the third quarter for the Oklahoma City Thunder in place of Isaiah Hartenstein. So the Thunder going with a smaller lineup here to start the third quarter for Caruso in 17 minutes so far off the bench. 8 points on 3 of 7 shooting, 2 of 5 from three-point range, 2 rebounds, and no assists. 3 steals, though, for Alex Caruso as the Thunder, again, going small here to start the third quarter. Going to keep an eye on what's going on with our player props. One thing that we did like before the game that we haven't seen happen yet is Jalen Williams to really pick up the scoring. This has been a bad performance from Jalen Williams, coming off of a Game 6 in which he had a historic plus minus of negative 40. Well, he is 2 of 8 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3-point range. He is contributing, though, with the 3 rebounds and 3 assists, but just 7 points for Jalen Williams as he does make a basket now. Look, we talk about the guy and he makes a basket, so feel good about that. 7 points for Jalen Williams. Chet Holmgren's got 7 points. SGA leads the way with 16 points on 5 of 14 shooting, but he still does not have a 3-pointer, 0 of 5 from 3-point range. In fact, the entire team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, shooting terrible from 3-point range, 5 of 23 from 3-point range for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 5 of 23, 2 of 6 from Lu Dort, 2 of 5 from Alex Caruso, and 1 for 2 for Cason Wallace. That's it. Elsewhere, Chet 0 for 1, Jalen Williams 0 for 3, and SGA 0 for 5. For the Indiana Pacers, I talked about this as we got to the end of the first half. The 3-pointers are keeping them in this game. If not for them making 3-pointers, this score would be getting out of hand. Right now, the Thunder lead 56-51 with 9:20 to go here in the third quarter. Your live market right now, Thunder -8.5, your live total of 203.5. And it's the 3-pointers that are keeping the Pacers alive, shooting 50% from 3-point range, 9 of 18 from 3-point range, and that includes the 3 of 4 from Tyrese Haliburton prior to exiting the game. Pascal Siakam is 2 of 3. He's got 13 points to lead the Indiana Pacers. Aaron Nesmith, 1 of 2. Andrew Nembhard, 1 of 2. Benedict Mathurin off the bench, 2 of 3. Your other point contributors here, Nembhard's got 9 points. Nesmith and Turner with 3 points each. 8 points for Mathurin off the bench. TJ McConnell has not shot a 3-pointer yet. He is 2 of 5 from the field, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. Just 4 points here for TJ McConnell. I expect him to go over his numbers. We did like to go over all of TJ McConnell's numbers at the half, or even at the end of the first quarter, certainly once Tyrese Haliburton exited the game. I still believe that we're going to see a big effort here from TJ McConnell in the second half. Maybe it's not so much points, even though I do think he'll find himself at the free throw line eventually, and there'll be some points had here for TJ McConnell, but I just like all of his numbers to go over. So even like a points, rebounds, assist number to go over. Again, 3 rebounds, 3 assists already, and just 4 points for TJ McConnell as we got 9:20 to go here in this third quarter. And taking a look at the live market here for the MVP, Shea is now -400 to be the MVP. And that is better than the -475 money line on the Thunder to win this game. On the flip side, Pascal Siakam +370, which is what he was before the game even started, and the Pacers +325 on the money line. I wonder where historically this Pacer, if the Pacers win this game, where it would rank historically. We already talk about this Pacers team as being one of, and I don't want to call it like, and you know, oh, this is such an improbable run to the NBA Finals. It's not an improbable run, okay? It's not a surprise run. But in terms of the betting market, this is where the shocker comes in. because the Pacers, prior to the NBA playoffs beginning, were significant dogs to win the NBA Finals. One of the long shots to win the NBA Finals. Things have broken their way here throughout the playoffs. You face a banged-up Bucks team that eventually loses Damian Lillard. You face a banged-up Cavs team, and then you face the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals as opposed to the Boston Celtics. And then coming into these NBA Finals, historically one of the largest dogs ever in an NBA Finals series. Literally, one of the biggest dogs we've ever seen in an NBA Finals coming in. Right now, in Game 7, I mean, you have a long shot ticket on the Pacers. It's a great opportunity to make some money. But seriously, this would be a historic championship win. Just because of the odds. Not because of the lack of respect for this Pacers team. Because we know this Pacers team's talented. And the one thing that I said throughout the course of this NBA Finals, and a lot of it has to do with reacting to, yeah, the Pacers winning these games and the market adjusting with the point spreads, or maybe lack of adjustment on the point spreads, is that the regular season doesn't mean anything. I mean, this is, it's crazy. We have all these numbers from the regular season. We have all this data. And when it comes to the playoffs, it doesn't play out that way. It's just irrelevant. The Thunder net rating, one of the best teams historically of all time in the NBA regular season, winning by margin more so than any team ever. What does that mean, though, when it comes to an NBA playoff series and you're playing against the team playing at the top of their game? The NBA regular season is too long. Teams take games off. There are scheduled losses throughout the 82 games. It's so hard to just look at a team throughout the course of a regular season and think, you know what? Yeah. That's how good they are. That's how bad they are. Obviously, the Pacers are showing they are much better than what they did in the regular season. You know, for a team like the Celtics, even though they lost to the Knicks, I thought the Celtics were a much better team than what they did in the regular season, and they were a 60-win team. We saw it for years with the Golden State Warriors. We've seen it with the Lakers, with LeBron. They know the regular season's a grind. You're going to make the playoffs. More than half the league makes the playoffs, especially now at the play-in tournament. You got to be really terrible to not make a top 10 seed and be in a play-in game. So, teams don't necessarily go all out in the regular season. But in the playoffs, it's a different game. It's a different sport. And so we could take all the data we have from the regular season and think that the Thunder were this much better than the Indiana Pacers. Clearly, the market is wrong. Because the Pacers have been up to the task here against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Either the Pacers are so much better than we thought, or the Thunder are not as good as we thought. And you know something? Both can be true. Elsewhere, Major League Baseball. Sunday Night Baseball still in progress right now. The Phillies with a 7-1 lead over the New York Mets going into the ninth inning. Three outs, and we will cash this under, hopefully, under 8.5. Speaking of baseball, ProfitX offering the best odds on baseball all season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S., which means you're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. And you can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Coming up, we'll get into what's going on here in the NBA Finals. Live numbers as we continue here on Live Bet Sunday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, not the great start to the third quarter that the Pacers would have hoped for, as they have turned the ball over four times in this third quarter, and they've only made two shots here. 18-8 run for the Oklahoma City Thunder here in this third quarter. Now 20-10 for the Thunder in the third quarter, as they have a 67-58 lead over the Indiana Pacers. Your live line, Thunder minus 10.5. Your live total is 207.5. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we keep an eye on the updated player props throughout the course of this Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Right now, we have Pascal Siakam with 13 points, just 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. I thought that Siakam would be more involved rebounding-wise, but who knows how the loss of Tyrese Haliburton has affected the play here for the Indiana Pacers in this third quarter. Certainly, everything kind of shuffled around. TJ McConnell, meanwhile, a player that we were heavy on going on his overs after the Tyrese Haliburton injury. McConnell now up to 6 points with 3 assists and 3 rebounds. So, still has a ways to get over the adjusted point total of 9.5. It was 10.5 when we recommended the play. At halftime, it went down to 9.5. Still recommended the play on the over. TJ McConnell now makes another basket. He's got 8 points, so we're on our way to cashing a TJ McConnell over bet here. Again, just 3 points, 3 assists, and 3 rebounds, though, so do need some more numbers there for him to go over those stats. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has got 21 points, finally made a 3-pointer. He's 1 of 7 from 3-point range. He's got 9 assists and 4 rebounds, so SGA is on his way to at least a double-double if he should get one more assist in this game. Chet Holmgren has picked up the scoring a little bit. He's got 10 points now, 5 in this third quarter. So now 12 points for Chet Holmgren, excuse me. Jalen Williams has 5 points in this third quarter as well. He now has 10 for the game. Alex Caruso off the bench does have 10 points. 69-64 is your score here as we are picking up the pace here in this third quarter. Your live total now up to 209.5. At one point, this got down to 202.5, and we have this number which closed prior to tip-off at 215.5. And I was on the over, and I felt that there was too much of an adjustment from where we were in this entire series to the Game 7 number. You don't just go from 229 in game number one, and I get it, you go down every game, but then from 222.5 down to 215.5, to me was a major over-adjustment in a game, and I understand a Game 7, but you know what? Hey, the first quarter turned out to be exactly how we thought it was going to be, a lower scoring first quarter. We cashed our best bet on the Pacers team total under 24.5 as they only scored 22 points in that first quarter. And both of these teams played with, you know, you want to call it nerves, you want to call it jitters, whatever you want to call it. They played tight in that first half, and they didn't run up and down the floor like we've grown accustomed to seeing throughout this NBA Finals. Well, I think now in this second half, I believe we're going to see more of an increased pace here for both of these teams, which is why I like the second half to go over. And so far, so good, as both of these teams have picked up the scoring here in this third quarter. We'll keep you updated on everything going on in this game throughout the rest of this quarter, and then take a look at some live numbers at the end of the quarter going into the fourth quarter. SGA now an overwhelming favorite to be NBA Finals MVP. And that's what I recommended playing prior to this game. It made no sense to play a money line, because you could have gotten a better price on SGA to win the MVP than betting Thunder on the money line. Same thing for the Pacers. If you thought the Pacers were going to win this game, it made no sense betting them on the money line. You could have just bet Pascal Siakam to be the MVP. But right now, with the Thunder opening up this lead, it's looking more and more like SGA is going to close out to be the Finals MVP. Still a lot of game left to be played. 70-64, Thunder lead the Pacers here in the third quarter. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We did cash that under on Sunday Night Baseball, a 7-1 win for the Phillies over the New York Mets. The one run for the New York Mets came on a Francisco Lindor solo home run, and that means that for the first time in 28 games, the Mets lost when Francisco Lindor homered. That streak falls one game shy of the record that was set in 1951 to 1953 by Carl Furillo of the Dodgers. The major league record for the most consecutive games won in which a player homered was 29. The Mets won 28 straight games in which Francisco Lindor hit a home run until tonight. Lindor's solo home run, the only run the Mets scored here against the Philadelphia Phillies on Sunday Night Baseball. This was the first time that they lost a game. I mentioned 28 straight. The last time Lindor homered in a Mets loss, July 3rd last year. They had almost gone a full calendar year without losing a game in which Francisco Lindor homered in. So crazy stuff there from the New York Mets. And now we take a look at tomorrow's schedule and we wonder if we're in fact going to be on the Sunday night fade. Because this is something that we have been on for a while now, is the Sunday night fade, which is playing against the team that plays on Sunday Night Baseball and then has to travel for a game on Monday. The one hesitation I do have is that this is not a big travel spot. The Mets go from Philadelphia back to Queens and get their stuff from the clubhouse and then back into their homes. And then they're home here for a game on Monday. It's not like they have to travel to another another city. Well, it is another city, but it's not a long travel spot, which would be the ultimate fade. Like, the ultimate fade is, hey, you play on Sunday night, game ends late. I mean, this game did not end late at all. It's not even 10 o'clock Eastern time yet. So the game didn't end late. This was a quick game. I mean, the Mets are probably home and in bed by midnight tonight. The fade spot would be, you know, team travels, goes to another city, and then all of a sudden, like, they don't get in until 3 o'clock in the morning, and whatever happens, now you have to wake up and get to the ballpark. You probably don't take BP for the next game because you're a little sluggish from the night before. And then, frankly, you don't have the same intensity because you're not playing the big-time opponent here on ESPN nationally televised, and that's a team that we usually fade on the Mondays. It has worked out a lot this year. I believe the Dodgers are the only team, and I'll have to look up the data again, but the Dodgers are the only team that has bucked this trend. They've actually done it twice. So just don't fade the Dodgers on the Sunday night fade. But everybody else, you can fade on the Sunday night fade. But I think I still want to fade the Mets here on Monday. Because despite winning and snapping their seven-game losing skid with the win on Saturday, this is a team that has still dropped 8 of their last 9 games. They only scored one run here on Sunday. The bats, obviously, I mean, they woke up with that big offensive explosion on Saturday with the multiple home runs, but not the case here on Sunday. And now you go up against a Braves team that has a pitching advantage over you here on Monday, where you got Paul Blackburn on the mound, who I don't trust right now because he hasn't shown anything to have me trust him early on. And Spencer Schwellenbach going for the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta's a small minus 125 favorite. I would lean towards the Sunday night fade here and go with Atlanta over the New York Mets. We have reached a timeout here, under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. We'll update you on everything going on as the Oklahoma City Thunder are now up 77-66. Over the Indiana Pacers. Want to tell you guys about Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring that all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums, and you can earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code LIVE. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Coming up next, we will be joined here by from the Houston Chronicle. Matt Young will join us on the program. The other big story in the NBA here on Sunday, not just Game 7 of the NBA Finals, but a massive trade going down as the Phoenix Suns sending Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. We have seen the market adjust accordingly as the Rockets go from, you know, being, let's see, anywhere from 14-1 now down to 8-1 to win the NBA Finals. In fact, some books, and I'll have to, you know, chop around to see this, but some books might have the Houston Rockets, and I believe they do, or they should, have the Rockets as the second favorite behind the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I got to be honest with you, it makes a lot of sense. They were the 2 seed first off in this year's NBA playoffs, but we know the Thunder are going to be the favorite next year. No one in the East should be favored because the East is so down right now. Now with the Tyrese Haliburton Achilles injury, he's out for next year. It's the Knicks and nobody else in the Eastern Conference. We'll talk more about the Durant trade coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter @ScottsOnAir. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.